Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Easter Tuesday, April 23rd, the bishops of Sri Lanka call for calm as mass funerals are held to honor the hundreds killed in terrorist bombings on Easter Sunday. Two deadly earthquakes strike the Philippines, and Pope Francis celebrates his name day and donates rosaries to young people from Milan. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Sri Lanka held its first mass funeral today in the wake of the Easter Sunday bombings that killed more than 320 people. Tuesday was declared a national day of mourning, and the country observed 3 minutes of silence as a tribute to the victims. The country's Catholic bishops are urging people to stay calm and to act with prudence and restraint. Robin Gomes has the details.
As of Tuesday, Sri Lanka's death toll rose to 321, with about 500 people wounded in the nation's worst violence since its civil war ended in 2009. The Catholic Bishops' Conference of Sri Lanka, CBCSL, said it expects the government to conduct an immediate inquiry. Ensure the safety of all citizens of the country, said CBCSL President Bishop Winston Fernando of Badulla. Following the example of Jesus Christ, who underwent undeserved suffering and offered himself to serve mankind, Bishop Fernando said, we must also be prepared to have a compassionate heart and prayerfully seek solutions in a human and just manner. Bishop Fernando spoke to Vatican News today after he returned from a funeral of two of his Catholics.
I must tell you that and thank God our people have responded to the grace of God and remain calm. You know, this is soon after Easter. I think they were well motivated to accept this suffering. Of course, everybody is so much pained, but then I think it is the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus that have helped the entire church to face this very trying moment. And some people are saying, in fact, that they would have been happier to die on a day like that. So you can see the level of faith of some of the people. But of course, we cannot deny the fact that some people are, you know, very upset and angry. But then the priests and the religious and also very good lay faithful have been able to, you know, motivate them to accept it calmly so that they may not react.
What does the Catholic Church of Sri Lanka expect from the government?
We are rather disappointed with the government at the moment because there were several warnings, but the intelligence, I think, have failed. And also, I must tell you that we need, you know, good leadership in the country because they are now trying to take political advantage because this is the election year. So everybody is trying to get marks and then criticize in the past and saying, you know, at our time this wouldn't have happened and criticizing each other instead of, you know, rallying together in order to address the situation. And therefore, what we expect is good leadership. It is not right and proper to take political advantage at this moment.
That was Bishop Winston Fernando of Badulla, the president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Sri Lanka. I'm Robin Gomes.
Staying with the story, the Apostolic Nuncio to Sri Lanka, Archbishop Pierre Nguyen Van Thot, said religious leaders in the country have pledged to work together for peace following Easter Sunday's tragic violence.
Yesterday, I was in conference organized by the Archbishop, the Cardinal, with the leaders of many religious groups, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, and Catholic also. So they try to work together, and I think they compromise to stay together to fight against the violence. And they asked me to say a word, and I said that it is very good to work together, and if we collaborate, we can bring back the peace in the country.
Thanks there to Archbishop Pierre Nguyen Van Thot, the Apostolic Nuncio to Sri Lanka. In the Philippines, a second powerful earthquake struck the eastern Samar province on Tuesday, just one day after a 6.1 magnitude quake hit the country's north. At least 16 people died in Monday's quake in the Pampanga province. Christopher Wells has the latest.
Rescue teams in the Philippines searched for signs of life beneath the rubble of a collapsed four-story commercial building on Tuesday. after a strong earthquake shook the country's biggest island, killing at least 15 people. Heavy lifting equipment and search dogs were used as dozens of firefighters, military, and civilian rescue teams raced to shift lumps of concrete in a commercial area of Porac, about 110 kilometers north of Manila, where a 6.1 magnitude earthquake damaged several buildings on Monday. Two people were rescued there on Tuesday, adding to seven found alive and four found dead overnight in the mix of rubble and mangled metal that caved in on a ground floor supermarket in the worst recorded incident. Most deaths were confined to parts of Pampanga province, where the governor said investigations would be held to determine why only certain buildings were damaged while others remained intact. Porac Mayor Condralita de la Cruz said the earthquake was the most intense the town had ever experienced. The quake, which struck at 5 p.m. local time on Monday, was initially reported as magnitude 6.3, but was later revised down to 6.1 by the United States Geological Survey. Another stronger earthquake with a magnitude of 6.5 struck in Samar in the southern Philippines on Tuesday afternoon, according to the Geological Survey. There were no immediate reports of destruction there, but the National Seismology Agency said damage could be expected from what it recorded as a 6.2 magnitude quake. I'm Christopher Wells.
The bishops of the United States are calling on all people to be counted in the 2020 census regardless of their citizenship. The statement came on the same day the U.S. Supreme Court heard a case regarding the Trump administration's bid to ask respondents about their citizenship. Critics say the question could keep undocumented migrants, immigrants, from taking part in the population count. The U.S. bishops say the proposed questions regarding immigration status will obstruct accurate census estimates and harm immigrant families and their communities. Lower courts have blocked the question, ruling that the Trump administration violated federal law and the U.S. Constitution. A Supreme Court ruling is expected by the end of June. In Northern Ireland, a dissident Republican group called the New IRA has claimed responsibility for the killing of journalist Lyra McKee, who was shot dead in Londonderry last week. Lydia O'Kane has the story.
In a statement to the Irish News newspaper, the New IRA offered full and sincere apologies to journalist Lyra McKee's family and friends. The 29-year-old reporter was shot dead in Derry, also known as Londonderry, last Thursday as she watched youths attack police following a raid. Police said she was hit when a gunman opened fire in the direction of officers. In a further development, the Police Service of Northern Ireland announced on Tuesday the arrest of a 57-year-old woman in connection with the shooting. She was arrested under the Terrorism Act. Two people who had been detained were released without charge. Miss McKee's murder has been condemned across the political spectrum and by church leaders. Her killing comes 21 years after the Good Friday Peace Agreement was signed in Northern Ireland. Lyra McKee's funeral will be held in Belfast on Wednesday. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Fighting continued south of Libya's capital, Tripoli, today as General Khalifa Haftar pressed his assault on the city held by the internationally recognized government. At least 34 people died over the weekend, bringing the death toll to over 250. The UN's Deputy Special Representative for Libya, Maria do Valle Ribeiro, gave this update on the situation in Tripoli.
We're in the third week of the fighting, and so far we have up to 35,000 displaced people. Many of these people have left their areas where they felt insecure and have moved into more secure areas, either with families, but some are in temporary shelters as well. We are also very concerned by the fact that displacement is continuing at an increasing rate every day. We are also obviously very concerned about the people who are still in the areas of conflict and would like to leave but have not been able to leave. One of the key issues that the UN has been working on is the humanitarian pauses to allow first responders to be able to access the areas, for people to be able to move out as well.
Elsewhere, Mozambique's government is working with UN agencies to relocate around 70,000 people whose homes were destroyed when Cyclone Idai hit in March. More than 1,000 people were killed by the storm in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. Heavy flooding left thousands destitute and homeless. Babar Baloch is the spokesman for the UN Human Rights Office in Geneva. He lays out how the UN is helping to provide families with a new start.
Some 200 families were moved out of emergency shelters in the coastal town of Beira. It's hoped that over the next coming 10 days, some 70,000 further people will be moved out of the temporary sites. These sites include schools, communal halls, libraries, and other buildings. Families moved at the weekend came from the district of Buzi, the epicenter of devastation in Mozambique. As a first step, families were moved to a transit center in Gora Gora, some 55 kilometers from their areas of origin. On arrival, the families were assigned emergency tents provided by UNHCR and our government partners. The settlement is equipped with portable water and latrines. The families will stay in Gora Gora for up to 3 days and will receive a plot of land, a kit of materials to clean the land and build their new houses, and seeds to start farming.
That was Babar Baloch, UNHCR spokesman in Geneva. U.S. President Donald Trump will make a state visit to Britain in June. A statement from Buckingham Palace on Tuesday said Mr. Trump had accepted an invitation from Queen Elizabeth. And finally, Pope Francis celebrated his name day on Tuesday, the Feast of St. George, or Jorge in Spanish. To mark the occasion, the Pope donated 6,000 World Youth Day rosaries to young people from Milan who were on a pilgrimage to Rome. Sean Patrick Lovett reports.
Pope Francis was baptized Jorge George Mario Bergoglio and celebrates his name day on April the 23rd, the Feast of St. George the Martyr. It's traditional in some parts of the world, like Argentina and Italy, for people to celebrate in a special way the feasts of the saints for whom they're named. The rosaries donated to the young pilgrims were made with olive wood from the Holy Land, specifically for the most recent World Youth Day, which took place in Panama in January, and for Youth Day at the diocesan level on Palm Sunday. Caritas Jerusalem organized the production of the rosaries, which gave work to the poor, to refugees, and to families of prisoners. On Wednesday morning, the young people from Milan, who are participating in the Archdiocesan Pastoral Year, dedicated to the theme, They Go From Strength to Strength, will be present for the general audience in St. Peter's Square with Pope Francis. In a note, the director ad interim of the Holy See Press Office, Alessandro Gisotti, said that accompanying the Pope's gesture, the Holy Father asked the young people to remember him in a special way in their prayer, particularly by entrusting him to the Virgin Mary just a few days before the month of May, which is dedicated to the Mother of God. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.